From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 24th, 2017. And on this day after news today that some found inconclusive, supporters of the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument are looking for some more information. And another Democratic candidate for the 2nd Congressional District. Those stories ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Supporters of the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument are going to have to wait to find out what's in store for the project, which encompasses nearly 88,000 acres. It's one of the 27 monuments that President Trump ordered reviewed in April, and while Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has met today's deadline for reporting back to Trump about potential changes to the monuments, he's not made his recommendations on that public. As Susan Sharon reports, that is causing some anxiety here in Maine and beyond.
In an interview with the Associated Press in Montana, Zinke said he wouldn't propose any of the 27 monuments be eliminated, but he said he would propose shrinking the boundaries of several and making other unspecified changes. Lucas St. Clair is among those who would like to know what they are.
The details are what we're most interested in and what happens to this place. But for now, we're optimistic and we'll wait and see.
St. Clair is the son of philanthropist and Burt's Bees co-founder Roxanne Quimby, who donated the land to the federal government. The land includes habitat for moose, bear, and lynx, has historical significance for members of Maine's Indian tribes, and because of its sweeping vistas and waterfalls, has become a popular spot for artists like Marcia Donahue, whose Millinocket Gallery is currently featuring artistic works focusing on the monument. Donahue says the uncertainty about changes to the monument is the biggest cliffhanger in her life right now.
And it feels that way to me. It's like, you know, one minute everything's going to be okay, and the next minute you're like, so I've been fine up until today, and now that we're right on the day of the possible announcement, I don't want to see everything fall apart.
On a visit to the monument in June, Secretary Zinke suggested that he might like to see more traditional uses on the property. Hunting, snowmobiling, and ATVs are confined to specific areas where they make the best sense, and commercial timber harvesting is not allowed. But Zinke hinted that there could be a place for that. He also said he thought that staunch critics of the monument, such as Governor Paul LePage, members of the forest products industry, and some local residents, could be appeased with changes. The monument is managed by the National Park Service, and Zinke has indicated it will stay in federal hands. But Gail Fanjoy says she's worried. Fanjoy is the past president of the Katahdin Area Chamber of Commerce.
I continue to be troubled by the notion that the secretary wants to, quote-unquote, craft recommendations that satisfy all parties involved. I can't imagine what the secretary could propose that would change their opinion while maintaining the integrity of the monument and honoring the intent of the family who donated the land to the federal government.
Environmental groups around the country were swift to criticize Zinke for not being transparent about his recommendations and for proposing to roll back protections for lands and waters under monument protection. They say he is also ignoring overwhelming support for keeping them intact. Meanwhile, the man whose job it is to welcome visitors to Maine's monument and make sure it's managed as well as possible says it's business as usual for him. Tim Hudson says about 4,000 cars have come through this past year. People are showing up to camp and hike. And so far, he says, nobody has gotten lost or hurt.
To my knowledge, the biggest emergency incident we've had is a flat tire.
Hudson was passing out birthday cake in his office Thursday morning, celebrating the one-year anniversary of the monument's designation by President Obama and the news that it will remain on the map. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
As monument supporters await more details from the Department of the Interior, the Republican chair of the House Committee on Natural Resources told reporters today that lawmakers are considering changes to the federal law that regulates the transfer of private property to the government. A.J. Higgins has more.
Landowners such as Roxanne Quimby should never have been permitted to donate large parcels of land to the U.S. government under the Antiquities Act of 1906, according to U.S. Congressman Rob Bishop. The Republican chairman of the House Committee on Natural Resources says previous administrations have misconstrued the intent and purpose of the act, signed into law by Theodore Roosevelt, that gives presidents the authority to preserve and protect federal lands that possess significant natural, cultural, or scientific features.
Congress never intended one individual be given the power to unilaterally dictate land management policies for enormous swaths of public land.
During a teleconference call with reporters, Bishop said there was never any congressional intent to use the act as a delegation of power to the president to use executive fiat to acquire public lands.
Now, if you look at the actual language of the Antiquities Act, you quickly see that it was designated to protect specific landmarks, structures, and objects. And they are to be on limited parcels of federal land that are confined to the smallest area compatible with the proper care and management of the objects to be protected.
When Congress returns from recess, Bishop says it must look at what he sees as the presidential abuses of the act and restore the act to its original purpose.
Only Congress can permanently prevent future abuses, and they must act to do so. We need to reform the Antiquities Act to ensure that it's being used to protect antiquities, but also that there is public access to these land and public input to it, and it's done in a transparent process, and that's clearly not being done at the present time.
In Bishop's home state of Utah, the Interior Department is reviewing the 1.4 million acre Bears Ears National Monument, which pits conservationists against energy development companies who have signaled an interest in uranium deposits at the site, as well as potential reserves of oil, gas, and coal. President Trump has referred to the designation of the Bears Ear National Monument by President Barack Obama as a massive federal land grab. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Democratic State Representative Jared Golden of Lewiston announced today that he is running for the 2nd Congressional District seat that's currently held by Republican Bruce Poliquin. Golden is 34 and the Assistant Majority Leader in the Maine House of Representatives, where he is in the middle of his second term. Golden also served in the U.S. Marines, and his candidacy reflects an aggressive recruiting effort by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee to recruit military veterans to run for Congress next year. Steve Missler has our story.
By entering the contest for the 2nd Congressional District seat, Golden becomes the 4th Democratic challenger vying for the chance to challenge Poliquin. But Golden's messaging and his announcement is different from that of the other candidates.
I'll never forget what it felt like running across the field and up the ridgeline toward the sound of the gunfire. On the other side of that ridge, 3 of our Marines were in a firefight. We were racing to get there faster because they needed us to have their backs. We knew they'd have done the same for us. That's just what Marines do.
Golden's ad goes on to characterize Congress and special interests of being opposite of Marines. They don't have Americans' backs. The ad is slick, professional, and it shows Golden running on a rural road in slow motion. The words in the back of his T-shirt are prominently featured. Pain is weakness leaving the body, a saying adopted by the U.S. Marines. It's likely no accident that Golden's fledgling campaign emphasizes his military service, which includes deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. He joins at least 20 other Democratic congressional candidates nationwide who are military veterans, a trend that reflects the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee's effort to carve into the GOP's hold on the so-called guns and guts vote, and veterans voters as well. During a press conference at Kennedy Park in Lewiston, Golden simultaneously acknowledged that trend while dismissing the idea that it influenced his decision to run.
Look, that's not why I'm standing here today. This was my decision. I'm doing this because I think it's the right thing to do, and I think I have something to offer the people in this community and in this state. So, you know, there's a lot of veterans around this country that are getting active, getting involved. I like to say we already served before, but we're not done serving. We've got more to offer, so.
Golden's message didn't exclusively focus on his military service. He also highlighted the failures of Congress and echoed President Trump's rhetoric on trade deals that some say have killed Maine and U.S. manufacturing jobs. And he also blasted Poliquin for supporting a repeal of Obamacare that independent analyses suggest would have disproportionately hurt rural and low-income Mainers, a big part of the 2nd District constituency. Poliquin and the Maine GOP quickly took notice, labeling Golden as an Augusta liberal who only looks good on the surface. They also repeatedly emphasized his age, despite the fact that he's 2 years older than two former GOP 2nd District office holders when they ran, William Cohen and Olympia Snow. Golden brushed off the attacks.
Those just sound like some boilerplate talking points right there, don't they? Look behind me, right? I've represented some of the poorest people, one of the poorest districts in this state, and I've always stood up for them.
Golden also targeted Poliquin's advocacy for veterans, saying it's been a lot of talk, but little action. His criticism suggests a focal point for the campaign against Poliquin, a financial manager who has not served in the military, but who has actively courted Maine veterans for supporters. But before he takes on Poliquin, Golden will have to win the Democratic primary that will take place next June. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, August 24th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.